You've been watching too many of that guy. Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
The human beagle.
It's followed me over.
Oh, no.
I just farted off screen and...
it's lingering.
It's now come over. What a horrible way to start the pot. I apologize. You okay with it?
Thankfully, it hasn't hit me just yet, but we are in a room with a closed door and yeah, closed windows.
It was just a quick hit of stink, and then it's kind of gone. Maybe it's dissipated pretty good. Are you just sitting there in that sort of moments of peril, just waiting for it?
It's like you possum in the headlights.
Yeah, exactly. I was. Tell me if this would have been considered uncouth. I was considering coming over and farting directly into the microphone.
Well, this is on your channel, so you do what you like.
Yeah, I would have been welcome to do that.
Do what you like.
And then I would have insisted on changing microphones. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And you would have had to talk into my fart mic at some stage.
I don't think I would have allowed that somehow.
In the future, down the track, I'm sure we've both spoken into these microphones. Not one that says Tony, one that says Mark.
I thought you meant like literally you would like fart into it and then just like unplug it and switch it over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. Take that, Mark. Take that.
Take this.
Today, I feel like a few odd things have been happening today.
What is this? I've been meaning to bring this for a couple of weeks. Do you remember?
Can I have a... You want me to go up to the... I'll go up to the camera and show this so you can explain what it is as I do that.
So, one of the other things, apart from a Bulls jersey...
It looks like it's kind of like...
I need it to... Focus.
Focus.
I'll get another shot.
Focus. What the
Nobody can hear you while you're over there. One of the things that I got given from some South African people when they were over here in New Zealand touring was a Bulls jersey, but then a separate guy, a guy named Matthew, he has a company which makes key rings which are like biltong. It's like a biltong ring.
I thought so.
So he sent me his biltong on a key ring.
And it doesn't look like anything else. If I put a couple of nuts inside of it. What you got there is a...
Cheers, Matthew. I haven't started using it yet. I've only just taken it out of the packet.
All the uses you'll find for this thing. It's good. Yeah. Is that just a little bit of like...
I think it's a little bit of this
little fat.
Yeah.
A little fat on top of it. Fantastic. Those South Africans.
I did give my in-laws when they were living with us for those 4 months, like a spare key. And I gave them a Western Force key ring that someone had kindly sent me in the past. I wish I'd had this to give them. Like, you guys want a key to the house? Here you go. So.
Take my little cock.
Take some biltong. Yeah. But cheers, Matthew.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. What a legend.
I've had a few little knickknacks sent, the old sumo magnet.
I'm still waiting for my first knickknack one day.
One of these days. Someone
will care for me. Don't think I've... Well, you're mad enough to give away your address for a while. That's how you received a lot of your rugby paraphernalia.
I get a lot of stuff sent to my dad's address.
I can't believe you did that. You're like, you know what? It's a bit sketchy putting my own address out there. Dad's, though.
Dad can look after himself.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, this is nice. It's a nice lager.
I didn't buy it with my own money.
You bought it with somebody else's money?
Money from America.
Oh, wow.
From North Carolina.
We had three sponsors.
Unbelievable.
But we don't get through three beers in a podcast.
Not usually.
So we'll get through two, but then we'll mention the third, and then we'll drink the third next beer next week, and we'll talk about them. We'll talk about the third sponsor again next week.
Apparently this is like a hot ticket item. If you want to get in involved with the sponsorships, you got to get in early.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well,
we're swimming in sponsors at the moment.
We didn't
apparently.
Have one last week, but then this week we
Did
get
we not
through.
Have one?
I don't think we had one. Because I always remember because it's a dream to edit.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's nothing to put in there.
True.
But we had a podcast. We've got two sponsors, two beer sponsors this week, and then another person I want to talk about.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a lovely beer. Lovely drop that. So we're drinking the Carrot Ichiban.
Ichiban, though, in Japanese means number one. That's why I got this beer, because like, it's number an American one. Sponsor, and I don't think they would have appreciated me buying Budweiser, which is the only American beer that you can get over here.
Oh, you could have bought like, you're like an American Pale Ale or something
when we had the Ballard Boxing, I got it like Liberty Ale or something, which was American themed. But number one, because I figure these guys are the number one football club.
And, you know, to commemorate Pearl Harbor. I don't know. Is that's the key sort of relationship between the Japanese and the Americans? Is that right?
Okay.
Thought
it was always Nakatomi Plaza.
So am I reading this?
Yeah, it's about Raleigh.
The Raleigh Rugby Football was founded, a football club, I presume, was founded over 40 years ago.
Do you know where Raleigh is?
In America.
It's in North Carolina.
North Carolina?
It's where the Hurricanes are in the old NHL. That's the reason I know that.
Holy smokes. And now competes with youth, men, and women members across the Mid-Atlantic.
That's great.
Sounds like it's in the ocean to me. Mid-Atlantic Ocean? Mid-Atlantic area.
Well, Carolina's on the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't know my American geography.
It's kind of
that
a bit
much.
Down from all those, like, what are those big, New York and Boston and all? It's
New Jersey.
Down,
yeah, right. Down okay, well, awesome. Well, this, with grassroots programs starting at 4 years old, great time to start your little bit of rugby.
That's like, I always hear about American rugby being like university or, you know.
It's probably one of the things that their problem is that it don't have the great.
Grassroots at like youth level. Yeah, they're transferring skills too late or learning skills too late.
But it's a similar age you start in New Zealand. It's
four years old.
Five,
that's cracking. Four or five is about.
I started playing rugby when I was five. Mm. I was dog shit. My dad used to say I was, you're out there, you just look like you're chasing butterflies. Probably was. But I was having a good time. We currently have several members of our adult teams who started in our youth program, so they go all the way through, which isn't very common in the US. We're always recruiting new members regardless of experience. So if you want to get down there and have a good time with the boys at, or the boys and girls at Raleigh Rugby Football Club, which was founded.
I think it's Raleigh.
Raleigh?
I think.
Raleigh? Raleigh?
It's spelled like Raleigh, isn't it? I don't know.
We'll put a logo in there, okay?
It's a cool logo. I've already sent it to you. It's in your email.
All right. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Well, this is cool. For those outside the U.S. considering additional education, come study at one of the three world-class universities, NC State, UNC, and Duke University.
Is Duke in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's like a big one.
Big sports school. Even I've heard of Duke. When we do those like basketball brackets, we used to do them when I was living in China.
Yeah.
One of the guys, American, was really into his basketball. We do the college basketball bracket. You'd have to pick which team.
Get into a bit of March Madness.
Yeah,
fantastic. In the area and play rugby with the Raleigh Rugby Club while you're here. H1Bs, is that a pencil?
Yeah.
You read the rest.
I even had it to come by with the recent administration. I guess that's like a visa.
Right, the Trumps.
We've been home. We're home to many players with student visas or other working situations. They can help with local recruiters or housing for exceptional talent. So if you're looking for a place to call your rugby home and you need a bit of
Raleigh rugby.
A bit of help.
Absolutely. That'd be a nice little end. If you were like going, there could be someone watching going, that actually solves
I want
a problem
to go study
me.
In the States. I want to play some rugby.
Yeah. And
Bongo Bango.
I'll put the contact will be down here the whole time, but raleighrugby.org/contact/. Drop them a line.
Or their Instagram.
Their Instagram is at Raleigh Rugby Club.
There you go.
On IG.
I love having a rugby club sponsor us.
Yeah.
In North Carolina.
How wicked is that?
That's fantastic.
We get some random ones.
That is for sure. I hadn't heard of them before this.
Okay. Mark. Oh, this is going to get bad. We have a task to perform. No, this is bullshit. Sorry,
We
are going to talk some rugby.
Well, there'll be timestamps in case you haven't figured them out already. We always talk about them. We're going to talk box,
so
winning
Mark
the rugby championship.
Mark is a whore for money, and he will, you know, sell you insurance.
Admit I didn't quite know what I was getting myself into.
we're in a pickle here.
A dilly of a pickle.
All right, okay.
I'm talking some rugby, Tony. I'm talking about the fact that the box and the All Blacks.
We have a script. Okay. So what have I got? We've got all sorts of strange directions. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking some rugby. We're going to talk some box winning the rugby championship back to back. And we're going to talk the All Blacks. Beating the Wallabies again. 11 times in a row, I think it is.
You know, Mark, we've been doing this podcast a long time.
We sure have, Tony. How many episodes are we up to now?
A lot. We know each other so well, we can finish each other's sentences. It's almost like we have a connection. They can't see that. I've got my...
I haven't felt that, Tony, but I do love doing the pop with you.
Oh, thanks.
I love using the verb love.
I'm sure you'd love something else, too. This is... Oh, this podcast has gone downhill. All right. Okay.
Got direction. Your hands are in warm.
So, Mark, do you think Beauden Barrett can make it through to the next World Cup?
Oh, I don't know. Let's give Ruben Love a crack. I think he'll be a real candidate.
That scene! The fuck were you making us do? Basically, we got given money to do gay romance. Which is fine if you're gay and all that sort of thing. Go ahead and do it. This man is a script writer. We just performed his script.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to be quite that physical.
Yeah, it was fun. It was different. I enjoyed it. And apparently it's to be continued. So romantic, Tiny, romantic Mark could
come. Your hands are very warm.
I didn't feel them.
You're quite hot-blooded.
Hot-blooded. Cold-blooded. Yeah, there you go.
This is the kind of stuff you don't get on other podcasts.
No, most other podcasters don't do... felt like we were reading... The way it reads very much like a gay romance novel.
It's a bit of Mills and Boone.
Yeah, between you and I.
You can make a bit of cash doing that kind of thing.
Some guy had a... Like, it was like someone's fan fiction of what we were doing.
Maybe.
And he's bought us a beer too, that guy who made us
do self-foaming.
You don't want to foam yourself.
Nama jockey.
No, we'll drink this later.
I didn't mean to get two Japanese beers. It just kind of happened.
Now, the person I actually really want to talk... Thank you very much, O'Reilly. Thank you very much to that strange individual that made us do that particular little performance.
I promise we're going to talk rugby.
But also, we have... I want to just wish a special birthday to a very special person... Felix, Aaron's child, has turned 18 today. Aaron is sponsoring next week's podcast, but we're not drinking his beer because we don't drink usually three beers on a podcast.
Mark has to drive.
Yeah, Mark has to drive, but Aaron's an incredible guy and a fantastic father. And you know what? We do this podcast, but bugger all my friends actually listen to this podcast.
But Aaron is the one that does.
He only found out like maybe a couple of months ago. He's like, oh, yeah, you do a podcast. And he said, what's it called? And he looked it up. And then he's made a point to go out and be like, ah. Oh.
I'll give that a listen.
And he's come back and he's like, ah, oh, it's not shit. It's actually quite good. So he's actually got enjoyed it. So I really do appreciate that. But also... a fun little story about the fabulous, fabulous individual that is Felix, relating to rugby. I'm going to take you back to 18 years ago exactly.
I thought you were going to take me back to 1898.
18 years ago exactly, 2007, the morning of the All Blacks. The All Blacks had just lost in the quarterfinal to France.
Brutal.
And life was over.
Is that 18 years ago? Holy crap, we're old.
Yeah, 18 years ago, and I was distraught, and we were all distraught. Or our friends were just young. Like,
what? We still had our lives ahead of us.
Yeah, we're like,
but
what the
World Cup had gone asunder.
Yeah, and it was just felt like, you know, darkness had come down in an absolute fiery, shadowy, pillaging feeling of doom that had gone across the country. But Aaron... had a baby on the way, and wonderful Felix was born, and it was. And I remember going over to his house and holding this baby, and I'd just been in such a shitty mood for 48 hours or so, and then holding this baby and going like, "Well, I guess there are things more important than rugby." And it was the thing that really kicked me out of my little because that was a real bad loss.
Yeah,
but that was the thing. It was literally the thing that kicked me out of this funk. This beautiful little baby, Felix, had arrived. And has grown up to be the most wonderful, artistic, creative, inspirational in lots of ways, a wonderful person, and has some wonderful siblings, and Corey and Jack as well, and Aaron's a wonderful father. So happy birthday to you, Felix. We love you all very much.
Birthday's a day after mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, you old bastard.
I'm a little bit more than 18.
Yeah, yeah, they're going out for drinks tonight.
Nice one.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron and Felix and the whole fam, or?
Aaron's going out, I think they got out for dinner, but they're going out for drinks. And I said, don't do anything your father would do, because your father could be a bit of a loose dude on the drink. In a good way, a very good time. Sometimes a little bit naughty, but a good kind of naughty and a bad kind of naughty. Just naughty.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, happy birthday.
Cheers, Aaron. We'll drink your beers
we'll
next
drink
time.
Your beers next week, and next week we'll advertise him. We're really going to sell him.
Okay.
But yeah.
Cool. We'll keep that powder dry.
I did want to wish Felix a happy birthday. Nice. Anyway, fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, so what are we...
commercial...
our commercial
requirements have been satisfied.
Our very, very demanding sponsors have been satiated.
Yes.
Thank you very much to the wonderful people at Riley Rugby, and also the very strange bloke who made us.
Riley Rugby are going to be back. They're sponsoring us for 2 episodes.
Who are?
Riley Rugby.
Is this guy going to make us? I swear he's going to make us butt fuck on this. If it's going to keep going in that direction,
yeah.
To be continued, it said. Yep. That's the scariest words that were on this.
Next time.
There was physical touching.
Yeah.
Next time.
Maybe I'll go up the price of it.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Jack and Mark off going, how about those All Blacks? Jesus Christ.
It's been a laugh.
Holy smokes.
Good times.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, people appreciated the less swearing.
The less swearing.
Yeah, you know, last week we mentioned that we were going to kind of tone the swearing down a bit, and we did tone the swearing down
a bit.
Yeah, we did. We still had the odd, you know.
Fuckity duckity.
But people appreciate that. Oh,
really? It's just the people
if you're the people who love the swearing, you need to get in the comments I love the swearing.
Yeah, then, yeah.
All this clean stuff. I can't stand it.
And the old days when it used to get looser on Monday, like, I like the ones on Tony's.
I love the ones on Tony's channel because it gets loose.
There were other people saying, just be yourselves. Don't PG it.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh well.
Can't please everybody.
You can't. You certainly can't. Yeah, yeah. Especially with the strange sort of sponsors we get.
We love you all.
We do. We love the beers. We love your engagement. It's all good stuff.
We need to talk some rugby, Tony. That's why we're here. That's why most people are here on 2 Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast with the 2CGD.
With the 2CGD. That's coming up.
It is.
It's sneaking up on us.
Towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yes, we do need to talk some rugby. The rugby championship was...
It concluded.
It came to an end.
Honestly, it's been a pretty good rugby championship.
It was. I thought this was probably the worst round of it so far, but it was because of the fact that all the other rounds were very, very good.
Mm.
The quality of rugby this weekend maybe
it
not quite there.
It was unfortunate that the All Blacks game had a lot of rain.
Yeah, and apparently it had been stellar weather all week.
Yeah, people were saying, like, Perth gets 15 days of rain a year.
Yeah.
And that's the one day it's
found Auckland decided to turn up.
Yeah, and, like, I do feel like the Springboks game was a little bit marred by how well they clicked the week before.
Yeah.
They were always going to look just a bit shit in comparison.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the Pumas played a bit better.
They played a bit better, and it was almost, and just how dominant they were at scrum time, made it kind of. There were so many points of that game. You were just like, "Well, this is over," and like how dominant they were at scrum time made it feel like not so much of a contest. But to Argentina's credit, they came right back into it.
I have seen a game which I think in the past was basically those two games put together. It was the Blues under Tana Umanga.
Yeah.
Played the Reds years ago. And this game was burned into my soul.
I don't remember it.
It's one of the most miserable games of rugby I ever remember because it was piddling down with rain.
Yeah.
The handling was atrocious.
Yeah.
And the Reds were an awful team at everything except they could scrum.
Oh.
And every scrum, they would get a penalty.
Oh.
And they looked like doing nothing else. So and the Blues were all right. But there were so many knock-ons that there were so many scrums.
Yeah,
it was horrendous.
Horrific.
It finished in a draw.
Well,
so like everything.
Everything about it was unsatisfying.
Everything.
Nobody walked away going as a cracker.
It's probably
none of the fans were happy. None of the players were
so
happy.
So many games just go by my memory, and I can't remember Test matches, World Cup matches. I can't remember anything. Yeah. But that Super Rugby game, nothing match, just burned into my soul. Like Tana Umanga's Blues were not a good team, and the Reds were horrible at that time.
Yeah, that was, there was, what are we talking, like circa 2013, 2014? Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it's a
long time ago.
A wee while ago. What game do you actually want to unpack first?
I guess we go in the order. There was the Bledisloe set up the following game.
Yes.
All Blacks needed, both teams were still in with a chance.
Tell you what, it was a bloody late kickoff. Holy smokes. Because there was a pre-game show on.
As soon as I saw that it was 10:45, I said to my wife, like, that's not going to be kicking off until after 11.
The Aussies don't give a shit about that. They're notorious for it. In the NRL, they always start late. And they
I remember I did a State of Origin stream a couple of years ago, and I started the stream pretty much at the time that the advertised kickoff was, and I was talking rubbish as usual, but for like 20 minutes waiting for the start of the game.
You should have done a stream last night.
Yeah, true.
That would have been a cracker. But yeah, so because I was like thinking, oh, there's a half an hour. There was a half an hour thing on build up on Sky that they said it was a pre-show. I thought, oh, cool, they've actually just labelled that the pre-show.
Yeah,
hoping that it would be a 10. I didn't look at what time kickoff was.
Yeah, it said 10:45.
Then I got on. It turned it on. It said 59 minutes to kickoff, and I was like, oh, you are fucking kidding me! I'm fucking half cut already. I'm going to be obliterated by the time this ended.
So like, and you were.
Yeah, like, and still is. Polished into that wine, and then, oh, God. And just my... And then I was jumping into the Kiwi lads' comment sections too much, like quite hammered. And then I ended up watching the first half of the Springbok game live, obliterated, be like, fuck this! Fuck you! You shit! Crap, referee! Stick it up your ass, South Africa! And I was like, the most obnoxious. The people like, was Tony okay?
He wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't think I reckon look at that.
No, it was. And then. And
did
then,
he have you on for the halftime
show? No, he didn't have you on, but didn't even ask.
I wonder why.
Then he would like read my comments and he'd be like, oh, that's an interesting take from Tony.
Without reading it out.
Yeah, exactly. But no, the game started, and it was, I really thought it was the, even though we got that one try from a really, really good run from Tupaia, who was
a line-out move. They sent him straight up the guts.
Really lovely bullet pass from a Cam Roygaard, whose passing game is probably the most underrated part of his game.
Yeah, he's such a good ball carrier that we forget about his passing.
His passing is a rocket. So really, really good flat ball to a steaming Tupaia, whose best thing, he might not be the fastest, but he runs with real intent and with real, like gnarly fucking shoulders and elbows, and he looks like a prick of a man to catch. He's a bit nasty, and he's a bit mean. And
I feel like the All Blacks midfielders maybe been lacking a bit of that. Like, if you think about all our midfield combos, Jordy and Rico, Jordy and Proctor, ALB in there, like, none of these guys are like a La Marta. Like, I don't want to tackle that guy. But Quinsu Paya's got a bit of that, like, no thanks.
So he brushes off one tackle, gets good contact, and then really, really good post-collision
meters, for sure.
And then that sets up and then gets our boy
Leroy Carter
in there, who, fuck, he loves it. He loves a try.
Yeah, three
he
for three.
He gets in there, real low body position, really great power, gets over, continues to make every post a winner. But other than that, I thought the opening stands, opening 20 minutes or so, was definitely the Wallabies looked like the better team.
For sure.
Our discipline was shocking. We were making bad. Our lineout was
fucking
terrible.
Scott Barrett gave away like three penalties in the first half, I think. We were getting pinged a lot.
Yeah.
Fraser McCrite was having a bit of a field day at the breakdown.
Isn't it? One thing I will say about, like, if you talk about strengths of international sides, like, you'll say that the French are mercurial, you'll say that
the Box have got good props.
The Box have got really, really good props and a really great scrum. The Irish are just really, really cohesive and concise and can burn you from anywhere. Like, I think the Australians have always had really good attacking shapes and know how to meet the game line and do all those sorts of things. But one part of the game, which I think they're world leaders in and have been for a long time, is jackling. They've had so many great jacklers. Like, you think about Pocock, you think about
Hooper,
and now Smith. You think about and McWright now, though. They are so
They've
good.
They've not really, in the last however many years we've been watching rugby, basically all our adult lives,
they've had
one of the best features in the world.
Yeah.
Like, even Hooper wasn't even that good a jackler.
Yeah.
He was, like, he's certainly not as good as Pocock.
Mm.
But he was still pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
And most teams would still be like, oh, I'll take a binocular Hooper.
Hooper and Pocock with their jackling and their presence at the breakdown and their ability to get the turnover got them to a World Cup final and put the shits up us that they could actually beat us. And the
old pooper.
Yeah, and they would make Richie McCaw really have to work extra hard at the breakdown. Like, we think about Richie McCaw as a great at the breakdown, great at the turnover, but he would be outshone by them in that part of the game quite often.
Yeah.
You know, and McCaw.
McCaw was always like, he's very good at slowing the ball down, very good at the dark stuff, which pissed people off.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, Pocock would just, he just get over the ball and he's an immovable object.
But Mick Wright is straight out of that mold as well. He's up there at the world's best jackler at the moment, for my money. Like, a real fucking pest. Like, just when you're getting momentum, he comes in there, right in there.
There were a few moments where I got quite pissed off with the All Blacks. Like,
me too.
Will Jordan, I remember at one point, had a big run out of our own half, isolated himself from his own support because he's quick.
Yeah.
And just ran pretty much. I don't remember if it was McWright that tackled him or McWright was like the assistant tackler. But it's like, when you're getting tackled, don't be next to that guy by yourself.
No.
Even half a second isolated, he's gonna get on the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least if you run, like, make sure you make him make such a tackle that he hasn't got time to like release and get over the thing. You know what I mean? Like, the All Blacks used to do that with like Pocock. They would run at Pocock instead of the guy next to Pocock because they don't want Pocock getting over the ball.
They'd be like, let's get him out of the actual
the contention part. Like, he needs to roll away. Like, get him doing that. So yeah they did it. And it was doing my head in.
Yeah, well, they created quite a few opportunities with their interplay and their passing, just not the finesse to finish anything off.
The Wallabies made a lot of mistakes.
One frustrating thing if you're a Wallabies fan was Will Skelton's needless penalty to get momentum at the start. Oh, yeah. He just didn't know his own strength and shoveled off Roygaard, who went flying. I feel
like that was partly Matt Carley just wanting to be like, I'm the big dick here. Yeah, basically. He was trying to set the tone. I mean,
I don't think there was that much in it, personally.
No. I mean, I know you're very much a kind of like, let the boys play, don't mind a bit of the niggle, but rugby, a lot of the refs like to do the whole, look, boys.
Yeah. This is a big occasion, and I'm a big fella.
Any running in and any pushing and shoving. And I mean, I get it. It gets the game moving, less of the faffing about, but I mean, sometimes a bit of the aggro is not bad.
How many times did you hear last night them say, wouldn't get away with that if it was we're talking about the NRL final, which we are going to go into deep detail. It's going to be the biggest conversation we've ever had about league. It's probably going to be right at the end of the podcast.
It will be. You're doing the thing. You can do a timestamp for it.
I'm going to edit it right to the front. there is a lot of that, but I felt like there were a lot of, like, for both sides, a lot of penalties that didn't really need to be blown up. Let the boys play. I feel like
some of them, though, I mean, to his credit, some of them he didn't immediately blow them up. Some I'm getting distracted by that. Some of them he would say, like, you know, three, get out of there. Like, and he wouldn't just, like, some refs just blow the whistle straight away.
Giardi just blows the whistle.
I don't mind a little bit of the coaching. Some people don't like it. They would rather just the ref blow up everything. But I would rather him to say, you know, get out of it. And then if they keep doing it, then obviously blow the whistle.
Is it just me, or is Super Rugby? Super Rugby seems to be a lot
more. The balance is a bit more right.
It's a lot more lenient.
The game flows a lot quicker. There's a lot less faffing about.
Yeah, they're more, like, I think they're much better athletes and there's much more tension and better, you know, better skills on display and things like that. But just general rugby flow seems to be a lot better in a Super Rugby game because there's almost like an understanding between the Aussies and New Zealanders that we need to make a fan-friendly product. For all its
flaws, that is one thing Super Rugby is doing right.
Yeah.
The refereeing is, I find, just personal preference, generally a bit more enjoyable. The game is quicker, it flows more.
Yeah.
They're blowing the whistle less. That's what I want to see as a fan.
That's what I want to see as a fan. Give me more scrum resets and pedantic breakdown penalties, please. Who asked for that? Just what the fuck am I doing with this? This is called a Super Dry Asahi Nama Joki. It's a self foaming can.
Pull and the hole. Why has it got a hole with two hands on it?
Oh, Jesus.
You go first. Or you're going to go at the same time.
Okay. Chill. It's chill. Poo. Whoa, fuck me. Oh, jeez. Oh, did you hear the sound of that thing? It was like a bloody firecracker. It was blowing off of my head. I literally got a fright. This has been an atrocious.
What is going on?
Oh, look at this. This is.
You've made more of a mess than I have.
This is just. Oh no. I'm going to get so much trouble.
Ottoman, you've made such a mess.
Oh, God.
I've made a lot less of it.
Oh, jeez.
Very little of this mess is mine. Mine's all on the coast.
No, you've done very well.
Oh, goodness me. When they said self-foaming care.
What the
fuck? Why is this a design feature? You open the can and it makes a fucking mess everywhere.
What is the point of it? And then you hold.
You hold it so you get foam all over your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
It was such a massive pop, too. Oh, shit. I don't think
you
can come on.
Oh, you're supposed to take the whole lid off.
Yeah, the whole lid. And then you mean to drink it out of the can.
Oh, shit. Mm.
You coughed me straight in the crotch there.
Oh, jeez,
Louise. So you meant to drink it out of the can like so, and then hold and drink.
Okay.
Well, this was a real. What? How many? Did you just bring the two? Have I got more?
There's four more in the fridge. Give Lydia one.
Just open this, house.
Oh man!
The crack of it. Do you hear that thing? I got a legit fright. I don't know how we compose
that. It's my favourite moment of the podcast ever. What are we supposed to be talking about?
A rugby.
My throat's sore from all that laughing.
It was... Okay.
Were we supposed to rip the whole thing off?
Yeah, we really screwed the pooch. And I've made a
horrendous
this
mess.
This ottoman, that's a fabric ottoman down here that we've used in every single podcast is...
It doesn't really
it's
have
like
any...
It's a nicest ottoman. Now it's covered in beer.
More so on your side than mine.
Yeah, no, you did a better job than I did. I'm going to pour this guy into there.
Okay.
After myself, have I foamed all over myself?
Whew.
Jeez Louise.
These are the sponsors. This is the beer script writer as well.
That script writer wanted us to jizz everywhere. He got his way eventually. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Oh, man.
Whoa. I'm covered.
You've got sticky hands.
Okay, we have to regain our composure and talk about.
What were we talking about? The Wallabies were making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they kicked a couple penalties, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they got up. We got that try, then they got up to 9 points. I thought Edmund looked all right in the opening stanza.
He had his moments.
The problem with him is he always has the ability to shit the bed. He has a couple of massive brain farts in every game. He kicked the ball out on the full at one point, which was unfortunate, and then just kind of went into a shell a little bit and looked like he lost his confidence. When he was playing ball in hand with a bit of confidence and facilitating some of his really great outside backs, he looked all right.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it didn't end up being his night. You got to be a bit frustrated if you're an Australian fan. There's a good
what
team.
What would you
in
give
there.
To have a great 10?
Oh, they need a great 10. If they had a great 10, they've got a great, great, great team.
To be fair, they've got Liner, Lolasio, Donaldson, I think, all injured. So,
but are any of them
and
great?
They started Jock the week before and he made mistakes.
Are any of them great?
Yeah, it's a thing. They got some solid ones.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. They got some good super rugby guys, but they don't have someone who's just like
up. They don't have anyone who's like, is he in the conversation for a World 15? I mean, even we might not at the moment. Yeah, we don't.
Well, we've got two guys that are clearly head and shoulders above the rest of the players in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they've just got a bunch of middling guys. And I still think Bowden Barrett is a world-class player. I still think he can pull it out of the big moments. I really like him as an impact player a lot of the time, to be honest now. But yeah, they don't have that quality. They really don't. And then they've had a lot of ups and downs in the nines as well. And then
they've had a lot of injuries this season, which has not helped them.
And their discipline was, we had a referee who liked the taste of his own whistle.
We got dominated a lot by the referee up until about the last 10, 15 minutes when the Wallabies conceded a ton of penalties, which ended at like 14 apiece. Like 28 penalties in one game. That doesn't even include all the advantages. It's a lot of whistle.
Yeah, ton of whistle.
They had a couple of yellow cards, which I don't think either of which were controversial, though.
Yeah.
Hooper falling on the lower limb of Geordie Barrett was horrendous.
Yeah.
Tupia must have been having like friggin' flashbacks about that when he saw that happen to another All Blacks 12.
It's the whole hip drop. That's the hip drop kind of rule.
That also happened to Will Jordan.
Yeah.
He got kind of hip dropped by Jorgensen.
You're seeing it now, aren't you?
I'm seeing it. I'm starting to see it since you've educated me. I'm like, nobody uses the word hip drop in the union parlance. They're like, this is...
It happens a lot in league because the blokes come at each other for 10 meters away, but then there's like encounter and then there's a lot of wrestle in the contact because they're not trying to get to ground or anything. They're actually trying to stay on their feet and get post-contact meters.
Mm.
Or if you're trying to get to ground, you're trying to get to your front because if you get to your front, you can get up quicker play the ball quicker. So they try, but they want to wrestle you onto your back and get a dominant tackle so you have a slow play of the ball.
Right.
So there's a lot of wrestle and they swing themselves around and they're kind of static and they come down on their lower limbs and that can be a season ender, if not a career ender at times. Tupia was out for 2 years with his fucking injury. So Darcy Swain taking out a limb. So it seems to happen a little bit more in rucks than it does in tackles in union, but it's the same sort of protection of those lower limbs.
Yeah, I think the ref called it a croc roll, but I don't know that it was a croc roll. It was just falling on the lower limb.
Yeah, he yanked him. He kind of, instead of like rolling him, he yanked him.
And then you drop the body weight. So, not a good look. Justin Marshall was like, oh, it was terrible. But no. It was, he's terrible as in terrible call, but no.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, I agree.
But Quincy Pye got 2 tries.
Ooh, baby.
One of them from a header.
Yeah, fantastic. Hongi.
And that was from a... Wallabies lost lineout.
Love a Falcon.
Wallabies lose their lineout directly. Yeah. Error is punished.
And I thought Geordie actually, that was the second grubber kick. Finding a bit of a space. Like the grubber, we haven't seen it much this year, and it was actually a really good little tactic. I thought Geordie actually had one of his better games of the season.
Put him in my team of the week.
Ba boom. You see my comment on that?
No.
I said, what the fuck? Reece Walsh isn't in the team.
Oh, rugby league reference.
Rugby league. But yeah, so it goes from that, and then the strange, very strange Falcon, but leads to a draw.
Also, the New Zealand commentators were like, "That's going to be a knock on." And I was thinking, hit him in the head. Yeah. Even on first look,
I was like, "What happened there?" I was like,
"My first gut was like that hit him in the head."
I didn't go. I was probably had too many by then.
You're seeing double.
I was writing comments like. I was such a belligerent old man in the Kiwi lads chat. I was writing things like, New Zealand used to play like All Blacks. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I saw, I was like, didn't something look weird? It didn't look like a clear knock on to me. But then they scored and they seemed very happy about it. And I was like, and then they were like adamant. So I was like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, no, it was pretty clearly off the noggin.
A big old noggin. He was into it, but like in that game, Geordie Barrett had a big old Falcon, which helped set up a try.
Mm.
He got a body weight dropped on his leg, which could have broken his all kinds of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
He got like whacked in the nuts when he was competing for an aerial ball with Suoli.
Yeah.
He got a high shot from Rob Valentini again in the big old noggin. Like he was into everything in that game.
Yeah, he was. Good and bad. And what you want to see him. You want to see him.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, getting involved. And when he started at 12, everyone was like, oh, yes.
Finally. Yeah.
And then.
Because he had been wanting to play 12 for ages.
And then I felt like this season he had, within the All Blacks, gone into a shell maybe a little bit. But I thought this was actually very much one of his stronger performances, only made stronger by the presence of somebody else we've very much considered just a number 12, not just, a number 12, Tupia playing 13 for one of the first times I can ever remember. Mm. Tupia, to his credit, came back from that horrific injury, and I thought all Super Rugby season, he looked really dynamic for the Chiefs. He was making some really, really like potent and angry and physical and abrasive runs.
Which is what you want.
Yeah, and he seems to be like, and then he scored that, he scored in the South African game, didn't he? To put it beyond doubt at Eden Park.
I can't even remember that.
I think he did. He came on late.
The Reds
and
against
then,
the Blues. Like a decade.
He came on late and scored a, not to put it beyond doubt, but to get it.
I know he had a heap of carries in that game.
But he came on later, but he looked like, And every time he's come on, he's had minimal opportunities, but he's made each one that one.
He finally earned himself a start. He's literally gone from, like, he was an All Black, and then he got that horrendous injury. I think he was, like, injured for a full year, and then slowly
rehabbing back.
Like, NPC, Super Rugby. Yeah. I think he went on, like, an All Blacks 15 tour last year. He's literally had to just start from the beginning again.
Yeah.
And he's finally got himself. And then he was the bench guy. Like last, like you say, a couple of weeks, he's been getting a few minutes off the bench on the wing.
Hopefully it makes him, eh? You know, it's the making of him.
Yeah.
And he played really, really well. Just looked like very, very good when going into the contact.
Yeah.
Does he have the pace to be able to manage blokes on the outside? Like, you need a bit of hops. They seem to make it, like, he made his tackles, but they made quite a few meters on him before he made his tackles. That would maybe the one thing that I still have a little bit of a question mark. But it was definitely the best our midfield has looked all year.
For sure.
Yeah, which is...
That was the one combo that looked, and I was like, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every other time you've seen it, you'd be like, Jordy's not making any punch. Or, like, Rico's not really getting much involvement. So it just always looked a bit...
Not quite there.
This one finally was like, that's... Yeah. Jordy's doing the kicking.
Yeah, yeah,
and Tupaia's doing the big direct carries.
We need a big bopper.
This looks like it could be the right combo.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. It's exciting. One game, but...
Yeah, like, we don't want to get...
It was pleasing.
...overly carried away by it, but it was...
And then he got another one. Big fend on Hooper after Will Jordan taking a quick tap.
Will Jordan's quick tap was a really good presence of mind, I thought.
Yep. Jordan was sharp all game. So
sharpy sharp.
That was a good first half. We went with a lead.
Yes.
Wallaby scored in the second half. D-Mac wasn't kicking his freaking goals, though.
No, yeah. He was and missing some pretty simple ones. Got the kind of had the yips or something.
Yeah.
But and then slotted some good ones towards the end.
Yeah, he did get the ones in the second half.
But if he got his, what did he leave, 9 points out there?
He missed at least, was it two penalties, conversion? Yeah, he missed a few.
Yeah, so 8 or 9 points or something. And then you can't count points you don't get, but if we have those points.
It doesn't look anywhere near as close as it could have been.
Yeah, well, it was still pretty convincing at the end. Like, it's got to be frustrating being a Wallaby fan because you've seen, you know, this marked improvement from where they were 12 to 18 months ago, and you've seen them like be desperately unlucky against the Lions, put it all together for 60 minutes against the South Africans and look incredible, show a lot of heart, grit and determination, but make a lot of mistakes to be able to have to put themselves in situations where they get themselves in such deep holes against the All Blacks and Argentina, only one of which they won, and then make so many disciplinary errors playing an All Black team that's definitely at a lower ebb of its cycle and was probably, if you consider the last 20, 23 years or whatever it's been since we lost the Bledisloe, this was a year that
looked like a genuine chance.
Like, there were years there where you're like, I can't see them.
They might get us over there, but they're not getting close over here.
They seem like they're one of the only teams left in world rugby that plays the All Blacks aura.
Yeah, it's still.
We've won 11 straight over them.
Yeah.
Everyone
else is clocking up wins against us. Yeah, the Pumas are doing it with regularity.
Yeah, we've got 50-50 record.
The Box are coming over here and doing it. So,
and the Wallabies, they still seem to capitulate versus that big black machine.
It is an interesting one, eh?
Yeah.
You reckon part of that Super Rugby? Because the Super Rugby teams are so dominant over the Aussie teams. Is there still a little bit of that?
I don't know. Or do we just raise our game when we play the Aussies? Or
they are missing a lot. Like, they would have benefited from having Tom Wright. But, I mean, every team can say that when they've got guys out. But, you know, Wright was such a weapon at the start of the competition.
Is it the fact that we know those players so well? We play Argentina players. We don't know them so well. And then similar for the South Africans, plus the fact that they're just so incredibly fucking dominant and it's the best South African team we've ever seen. You know? Don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. They did get a try in the second half through Ikitau.
Yeah.
And then we got one through Bauer at the end, which is apparently his first ever professional try.
That's so good. I was actually a little bit of a anti-Bauer guy.
Me as well.
Yeah, because I was like...
He always seemed like he's a bit average.
Why we got him on the team? But I think he actually looks bigger than he has in the past. And I think...
He's another one who had a massive injury layoff and has had to kind of work his way back up.
He's a funny guy. He's, and then he seems to have, what I've seen of him this year has actually looked pretty good.
Mm.
You know, he's done pretty well in different sets. And I thought Tulsi, he, you just realised what a big body he was. Like, when he takes on the line, he gets great post-contact meters. He's like,
just a big unit. If he can get any header theme up.
Yeah, if he could become a world-class scrummager, like, we could definitely get so. And that was nice. It kind of felt like a real, though it was like, it was Team Tulsi, Team, I've forgotten his name, Bauer. They pushed the, they were running together.
They loved it.
We'll do it together. It was really great. Yeah. It was really, really nice to see.
How
you
much,
can see that the whole team loved it as well.
How much did the Wallabies miss having Skelton? Because he was he didn't play long.
And the, you felt like at that first breakdown where he got the penalty, just by being a big fucking bastard.
Like, ooh, good to have him back.
Yeah, it's like, oof, it's going to be valuable. Long.
And then he went off for an HIA and didn't never pass came it back. Like, before 20 minutes.
Gave away a penalty, went off for an HIA, and that was all she wrote.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Is it, he's not enough to change the outcome of that game, though, is he?
No, but he, like, you don't know, like, who knows what really changes the outcome of a game? Like, the penalty here, big turnover there, a big hit, a big carry here and there. These are the things that lead to, you know, a big tackle, like, stop tries, make tries. Who knows? We can't, but unlikely, but possible. Definitely not. It's a net loss for the Wallabies losing them.
James Slipper's final game?
Probably deserved a little bit better.
Yeah, you could say that for someone mentioned that, like, the course of his entire career, like, he's kind of started at a time when the Wallabies were kind of just past their peak kind of era. Like, he's post, you know, well post, like, Bledisloe.
Post Greg and post Eels, post all that shit.
No, he's still, the Wallabies still get to a World Cup final while he's there, and they, I think, win one rugby championship in an abridged year, but he's not been in an era of, like, hugely, like,
was successful. Was he in 2011 when they lost the semi?
I think he was.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Okay, well done to him for but always being a world-class talent in that front row. And like, similar to, like, him and, you used to look to him and Hooper, and they'd just be, like, guys just trying to do everything to pull the team up. And there's just been so many blokes that have come and gone.
He's good. I remember when he first started, I was like, he's one of those guys, like, oh, he's really good around the park, but he's not very good in the scrum. Like, he's always really high work rate. But it's good to see that in his career, he's gotten a lot better in the scrum. Like, there's a couple of games when he was, like, the emergency tight head, and he still looked, you know, decent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's great to see that kind of, it's like almost like when a back starts as, like, this lightning quick guy when he's young, and then, like, maybe like a Tano or someone, like, who evolves their game, shifts into the midfield, like a prop who's great around the park but gets dominated at scrum time to become, I mean, Graham, Slipper's never been like a dominant scrummager, but he got a lot better than when he first started.
It was almost like when Martin Nonu just started as a blockbusting winger that couldn't be stopped, but couldn't make a tackle, made dumb decisions, and they moved to the midfield, but he still had a lot of misreads in his defense, but then developed this really cool little kicking game. And then became dynamite everywhere.
So Slips is not as sexy as that, but I'm just saying he got a lot better at scrummaging compared to just being a really high work rate, high tempo guy around the park.
I guess it's just cool to watch the evolution of a player over the career. Long period.
Yeah, for sure. I've only got a try in the top 14 the other day.
The oldest bloke ever.
Yeah, 43, still playing.
He's older than us.
I know.
I still haven't got the call up for the top 14.
No.
I'm waiting for it.
One of these days.
I reckon La Rochelle's
eye. Get there as a medical joker.
La Rochelle's eye me up.
Give him a big Will Skelton.
Big Will.
So, yeah.
Packing down to get
two from two against the Wallabies. Back-to-back games for the ABs.
I guess we got to be satisfied, but it's hard. Mm. Are you satisfied? I don't feel overly satisfied.
If we had won the rugby championship,
yes,
I still would have been a bit like, okay.
Yeah.
How did we do that?
Almost that year. Remember that year that we won in Ellis Park, but we lost in Nombella the week before?
Right.
And
Fozzie era.
And we'd lost the against Ireland. Ireland.
Oh, yes,
the,
yes, yes.
We
yes.
won the rugby championship that year.
Yes, and it was a bit like,
but we had to wait on a result.
That's right.
For that one.
The final game, and though. Then, I think the box needed a bonus point against Argentina.
And you woke up, oh, we won it.
Okay. Yeah. It was a bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This year would have been like that.
But I would have been chuffed.
For sure.
Yeah. But not to be. The South Africans had other plans in their front row.
They won 29-27. So it's a 2-point game.
Mm.
And the box was certainly not as clinical as they were a week before.
No.
And the Pumas made a lot more tackles than they did the week before.
Now,
so the box coming down a notch, the Pumas coming up a notch. I mean, it was still a consolation try at the death.
Yeah.
The box had the game won, partly because Carreras just missed that penalty.
He missed that penalty.
Hits the post. That could have made it a squeaky bum finish.
Yeah, well, that's what we were all looking for.
That's what I was looking for.
But they looked, I thought the Argentinians were the better team in the first half. But
well, they were leading for quite a while in that game.
I think they were leading at halftime. But
they just couldn't scrum. Their best tight head dropped out before the kickoff, which did not help.
I'm not
saying he would have made a difference, but it's kind of like the Skelton thing with the Aussies. Is he worth 2 points? I reckon probably at least.
It was a fucking cheat code. You know what it reminded me of?
Reds game against the Blues where they just kept scrummaging us?
No. You ever play, I'm sure you had, you played Street Fighter as a kid?
Yeah.
Street Fighter, the arcade game. No, not Guile. You know, like E Honda, right? Oh, yes. And E Honda. Yeah, exactly. And E Honda had like one move. If you just like tapped, those are three buttons like in a row. You'd do the like that, and like would get you everywhere. And if you couldn't block or something, and he had you in a corner,
you're done.
You're just done, and all you can do is go cheap. Yeah. Cheap, just yell cheap at the other person because it's just, there's not much you can do against it. It kind of felt like that at scrum time. You were just like, oh.
There's a couple of times
but it's not cheap because it's obviously it's an even contest. Yeah. But it was like every scrum led to a penalty. Yeah,
basically. I remember there was a couple of times when there was a Pumas knock on.
Yeah.
And you just saw Montoya like staring fucking daggers at his player like, oh, for God's sake.
And then there was one time where
There was one time when the Pumas knocked it on and the box recovered the ball.
Yeah.
And the ref was like, advantage.
Yeah.
And I was like, for the love of God, Argentina, stop contesting. Let them play one phase.
Yeah.
Wait for the ref to say advantage over. But the Pumas were getting in there at the breakdown. They go back for the advantage. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You don't want to scrum.
But how do you have the presence of mind to be like, ease off in that moment?
It's hard to tell like highly wired professional athletes to be like, just ease off for just a second.
Just let them get the game line and
take one kick. Phase.
Yeah. And then there was a time where I felt like the referee, even Giardi, felt sorry that he had to call a scrum because I think one of those Argentinian players had gone down with cramp in the middle of the field. I was like, I can't let the game go on, guys. It's gonna have to be
a
penalty machine.
The Argentinians tried to milk a free kick at one point from a scrum.
Because
free kicks can't lead to a recall scrum. And he was just like, bro, I'm going to have to penalise you if you do that on purpose. And that Piatti gets a lot of shit, but I was like, that's some astute like referee to call that behaviour out.
I thought that was, it was pretty good. One thing I thought was fucking horseshit was like Kanan
Moody. Kanan Moody should have got a second yellow.
100%. Like that was knock on all day of the week.
If he hadn't had the initial yellow, the ref is 100% giving out a yellow card. Difference. I know it shouldn't.
What the fuck? That was weird. If it was an Argentinian player, I really think it would have been... That's the rules.
At that moment,
I don't know. Maybe
I don't usually like to.
I don't think that he would have consciously done it that way. But
I don't like to delve into the social media initial reactions during games because I want to try and absorb it myself. But at that moment, I did have a quick look on Reddit, like they have the match threads.
Yeah.
And there were heaps of South African fans going, "That is bullshit! Like that is such a bad call. That is 100%. He should be getting pinged for that."
Yeah, it was terrible. The only thing that could potentially have saved...
So that's how bad it was.
Yeah, which you don't often hear from South Africans. the only thing that you could have potentially saved him was the fact that it wasn't in a try-scoring position and it was in midfield. So
at least the penalty.
At worst, it's a penalty. He was never anywhere near making in a position to catch it. And the clearest just like too far away to catch, just throws a hand at it. Sorry about that. And then... Gets a fucking The most, like, was he trying to knock it on? Probably not.
No,
but that's not what a deliberate knock on is. No. A deliberate knock on that for the
that's,
way that
that's the way that it's the way it's officiated. Yeah, I don't like the way it is officiated, but to keep it consistent, should have been a card.
That was a pretty fucking clear cut one. Right? Yeah, I was on the whiskies by this stage, and I just was red on poor old Kiwi lads chat.
Yeah,
yeah, but that was a shocker of a call.
It was.
A real shocker.
Well, it wasn't a shocker. It was Batista Delgui on the right wing for Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
He used to play for the Jaguares back in the day, and he was always very fleet of foot.
I love their wingers, and I love Chocobatas.
Mm-hmm.
There's just... If you took out... I'm going to say something bold.
Okay.
If you take out the scrum out of that game, which is a big part of rugby, the Pumas won it.
If it was rugby league.
But I say it this way. If the Pumas had parity at scrum time.
Oh, yeah.
Then the Pumas won that game.
Yeah, but they didn't get anything close to parity. Oh,
they were just so woefully dominated. It was terrible. But then there was that like moment where it was just all going the box way through the second half. And then 20 minutes into the second half when they had your unassailable lead and you thought, shit,
this kid. Yeah, they were 16 points up. And I thought, this is going to get messy because Kovas Ryanak had got two.
Yeah.
One of them from a scrum where like the ball bobbled out and it was like Johnny on the spot. Malcolm Marks got a maul try.
Marks was big this weekend.
He was having a bloody good game.
Yeah.
So there were 16 points up and it was like, yes, this is going to get messy.
And then the box almost felt, I felt like they really switched off.
Cheslin Kolbe loves a try assist for the Argentinians. This time it was a pass, not a kick. That was like, it reminded me of Jordy Barrett from the Wellington game in 2018, where he was just like, quick throw. Oh, Willie LaRue got it. Whoops.
Okay.
Kolbe was just like, Kolbe has got that much good credit with South African fans that they forgive him.
Yeah.
Like, if that had been a number of other players.
Back
in the days, if that had been Elton Yankees, my God, it would have been like jersey burning.
I think if it was Marnie Leboeck, he would have got a
probably, bunch. Probably, Marnie Leboeck's another good example. If that had been Marnie Leboeck, he would be getting a lot of stick. But because it's Cheslin, they're like, all right, we can forgive you.
That's okay, Cheslin.
He's still in the good books.
Yeah. But can you please
stop doing that? It's two weeks, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that led the Argentinians back into the game.
Yeah, and the Argentinians took that with vigor, what's the word I'm looking for? They took that with relish. Mm. That's the word. They took it with relish, and I thought they won the last 20 minutes very, very well, and like very, very comprehensively. And I was... watching the replay, I'll tell you, I'm sitting here sort of babbling now, but I went to bed at halftime.
Right.
Because it was a fucking...
For us, the first game was at 11 until 1, and the second game was 2 till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, so it was a slippery slope, that one, because the All Blacks generally don't start when we're playing Australia. Like, you don't...
That late.
At 11. And the
it's
fact
9
that,
o'clock.
And then it finishes up... one-ish, and then I thought, oh shit, well they're starting at 1:45, it's only 45 minutes away.
Just stay up and watch it.
And then I was like, I'll just watch kickoff and I'll go to bed. And then I started watching the kickoff and I was like, interesting, engaging in the chat, swearing a bunch, and it was entertaining enough and I was like, no, I've really got to go to bed. Really got to hit the sack now.
Yeah.
And I woke up and then I went to bed going, okay, well, they're in the lead, but I'm sure I'm going to wake up and the box would have won it by 30 points.
Right.
And then
it did feel like that. And then, me watching it live felt like that.
And then I woke up, checked stuff immediately, and then it was just
2 points. You're like, no!
Oh, dark! Yeah, damn it. We were running. And then I think when I watched your review, and you're like, it was a consolation try. I think I watched some other stuff, and there was a bunch of people saying, oh, they were never really in it. But I thought they were kind of in it.
If he gets that penalty,
it
is 100%.
On like Donkey Kong, grand slam finish.
Yeah. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at it. Are they still big-time underdogs? Yes, but they would have at least had a crack.
Yeah.
So they get the consolation, cross-kick to Iskrow. It's a nice try, but...
get their tries. They earn their points.
Yeah.
I think the points...
Despite... To get within 2 points of that Bok team, despite having no scrum.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's quite incredible.
The fact that every time you have a scrum, you lose possession and
territory.
40 to 60 meters of territory.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
and to still get within 2 points is quite incredible.
It is quite incredible. And yep. Like, they've got so many great players. If they could just find some fucking props, yeah, that would be really, really helpful.
They had this young guy come off the bench who was like, right, he looked all right.
Yeah, I thought he looked
could
pretty
be
good.
Promising. He's like 20 years old.
Yeah, he played.
He's like, by the way, like, go scrum the Springboks. You've that, seen what's been happening in the first half. You weren't even supposed to be playing. You're a late call up.
Get out there, son. You'll be all right.
Good luck.
He looked all right. Did some nice carries too.
Yeah.
They've got a scrum, prop, sorry, in the Argentinian team that has one of the worst haircuts.
Vivas.
It looks like a bell end, doesn't it? He looks like the tip
it's
of a...
It's usually halfbacks.
It looks like the tip of a penis. That guy said, what the fuck are you thinking?
I know.
Well, geez. It's
haircuts
just so
are an interesting thing. You must have had some haircuts back in the day where you're like, oh, that's not a good look.
Yeah, I used to, when I was younger, I had a period between like ages of like 10 and 12 where someone said, like, I got a haircut and the fringe was a little bit longer.
Right.
And then they were like, and someone said, oh, that looks good. And then I took that to heart. I was like, yeah.
That does look good.
And then I started growing, like shaving it kind of, and then like leaving a fringe.
Bro, that's exactly the haircut I had as a child. Like as a 7 year old.
It's the worst. I was a little bit older.
I literally had a fringe with like a number 4.
Yeah, yeah. It's a terrible look.
It's not a good look at all.
It's a shocker.
Why anyone let me get away with that? I don't know.
I got a lot of shit about it. I remember turning up to cricket practice one day and I just had a fresh cut. And I was like, looking dope. And then they were like, what the fuck have you done? I was like, it looks cool.
Yeah.
And then the coach said, it looks like a possum. And then for the rest of the season, they called me possum.
Nice. I remember as like a teenager, I read, you know, Tim Allen from Home Improvement?
Yeah.
He had a book.
Yeah,
and I read his book, and it resonated me with as like a teenager because he had this thing where he said like every man has like a look. They go up to a mirror and they look at themselves and they go, "Yeah, I look alright."
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing you're thinking about. You get that one look and you're like, "Yeah, I look alright." Like you might look like absolute dog shit.
Yeah,
but you just go up to the mirror and you think, "Yeah, I look alright."
Sometimes I'm about to go out and I'm like, "Oh, this is fine," and then Lydia's just like, "No."
Yeah, don't do that.
You need to, like, not wear.
Is it? I went to a playground at a park the other day with my children. They were playing.
Yes.
Right? And there was an attractive lady 3 or 4 meters over there.
Hot mama.
She's a hot mama. And I was talking to my wife at the time, and I had a little glance over at this hot lady while talking to my wife.
And it's a delicate game to play.
I know. I said to my wife, she's not from New Zealand.
Ah.
And she's like, how do you know? I'm like, she's too attractive and and dressed too nicely.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got makeup on. Like, it's a Sunday morning. She's kind of dolled up. That's not any, and she was Russian.
Yeah.
I heard her talking to her husband a few minutes later. I was like, oh, she's Russian. Is that bad, or is that just like Kiwis? We don't.
No, I don't think that's bad. I think there are lots of attractive New Zealanders.
For sure.
But like a Saturday morning at a playground, you know, you might be wearing all sorts of stuff.
A dad came by.
You're not going to be made up.
A jacket, like quite a thick jacket, but with shorts and jandals. And my wife was like, he's a Kiwi. And I was like, he's a Kiwi.
When I'm traveling and when I backpack around Europe and stuff, it was so easy to spot New Zealanders and Australians. You didn't even need to hear them talk, but you would just spot like somebody who looks like absolute shit.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah. Like someone's wearing stubbies and jandals and like a singlet, and you're like, that's a New Zealander or that's an Australian. Like the Australians and New Zealanders look very, very similar when we travel around. And like you'd be like, hey mate, and they'd be like, bro, and then you'd be able to like connect pretty, pretty easily. Although like I remember I was 18 and we went to Rome. And we were filthy fucking Kiwis, just like just feral little shits, basically, straight out of seventh form. And we arrived in Rome in Fashion Week.
Right.
And we went to one of those stairs, these very famous stairs called the Roman Stairs or whatever they're called. And they were doing like a fashion show. And they were
it was in Spain, but anyway.
It was honestly like being on another fucking planet.
Yeah.
Like how incredibly beautiful the people were. The women were like, we were just walking around like,
yeah.
They were just, everything was so exquisite, and we're wearing fucking stubbies and jandals and like wife beaters and stuff, and just like,
yeah.
And they were like, just walking around like they were just a different class of human, and we're yeah. like,
yeah.
So Kiwis, we just,
yeah.
we're just a little bit rough that, around the edges sometimes.
I had that feeling once when I was in China. I had a blender that had been given to me by a guy who was leaving China. He was like, yeah. I'm leaving. I don't want to take the fucking blender with me. Do you yeah. want the blender? I was like, I'll take your blender.
Yeah.
I love free stuff.
Yeah,
but did. I never used it. And then one of my other workmates was like, oh man, I wish I had a blender. I was like, I've got a blender. I'll give you the blender. So I remember that work that day, I was walking to work carrying a blender, walked past a really flash hotel, and this gorgeous Chinese lady,
yeah,
just like she was just to the nines.
Yeah.
And there's me holding a blender, and I've never felt more like, yeah, I'm like, we're in a, like, you're, yeah, this is.
We're different species.
We're different species. This is not yeah. right. Me. I just sculled off with my blender.
You want to, you want me to blend something up for your love?
I got a blender.
You got a kiwi fruit? Yeah, yeah.
This is a distracted conversation.
Oh, shit. It's flashing.
Is that out of battery?
It's looking like a battery alarm. Oh.
Okay.
Quick.
Box, you did bloody well.
You won the competition. Fantastic.
Back years, rugby brilliant. Championship winners.
Oh, we're not going to have time to talk about the NRL.
19 points. They beat us on points difference. It was Wellington that was the difference.
Yes.
Wellington won it.
They deserve it because of Wellington.
Screw you, Wellington.
We spent freaking 10 minutes talking about hot people from overseas.
Hawke's Bay are through to the quarterfinals at NPC. Hawke's Bay are through to the quarterfinals. Fantastic. North Harbour got a win.
Yes! Yes, we did.
You didn't finish the season winless.
Yes, we got one at the very end.
In the URC, Zebre played the Lions.
What's that?
Zebre played the Lions.
Oh, I've got to play my game.
Yep.
Zebre played the Lions in where?
In Italy.
I'm going to go to Lions.
Nope, they lost 22-20. Zebre won it at the death with a try. Munster played Cardiff.
A Munster.
They won, but only by 3 points. 23-20. Okay. Well, Cardiff scored 4 tries, didn't kick any conversions. Benetton played Glasgow in Italy.
Glasgow got it done.
No, they lost by 2 points. Late drop goal. Drama.
She's a bullshit.
The Bulls played Leinster in Pretoria.
Leinster lost last week.
They did. They got nilled by the Stormers.
And they're still in South Africa.
Still in South Africa.
I don't think they recover from the heartache. That's a bold call, but I feel like they're not bouncing back in South
Bulls
Africa.
Bulls 39, Leinster 31. They got it done. Leinster were in the lead
That's
for a bit.
That's a call.
It's a call. The Dragons played the Sharks in pissing down weather Rodney Parade in Wales.
Dragons played the Sharks. Sharks.
Mm-hmm. 17-all draw.
Do I get half a point?
I think we give half a point for that one.
All right.
The Dragons should have kicked
this
the drop
is a rough
death.
Week.
Stormers played the Ospreys in Cape Town.
Stormers all day.
Yeah, 26-10. Edinburgh and Ulster and Connacht and Scarlets were both postponed due to stormy weather. NRL final. You made me watch it, kind of. You sent me a message. I kind of watched the second half.
Tell me your thoughts.
Reece Walsh is pretty good.
He's incredible.
That try-saving tackle at the end.
Amazing.
The Stormers had like a 2-on-1 and he just shoots
the
up down the line.
Storm.
Oh, sorry, the Storm. Bam! He makes
incredible.
The spot tackle.
Amazing, eh?
But sets up some fucking tries as well.
And just, he like scores an outrageous try.
Mm.
Where would you put him in a union team?
Surely he's a 10.
You reckon?
Or a fullback.
He set up some great tries with his pass as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just electric.
Double playmaking fullback, I think. Fullback.
Just in terms of the
fullback. Fullback.
Just in terms of the quality of a final and like the overall product.
The spectacle was there. The crowd was there. It's fantastic. But I tell you?
What?
It's like NASCAR.
Nah.
It's like it's entertaining as fuck.
Yeah.
It's a bit kind of the same samey.
No,
there's less variety, but what is being shown to you is very entertaining.
Yeah, they show so much more nuance in because it has to be same samey in a way.
Mm.
You get to know like far more nuance of the shapes and the precise skills. So you get to go deeper into those. Mm. Whereas there's so much more going on in a game of union that, like, it's when it's at a higher level, I think a higher level union's a better product. But I think consistently, league is going to provide this is my analogy, or not analogy, but the way I've always said it is like a great game of union beats a great game of league, but a bad game of League beats a bad game of Uni.
Yep.
Bad game of Uni can't be watchable. Bad game of League's still going to have something going on.
Yeah, if you were going to ask someone who'd never seen either code to watch the Bledisloe at the weekend in Perth or to watch the final, they're going to be a League fan.
100%. The game last night was a cracker. It was an all-timer. It was one of the best finals you've ever seen. And one of the best performances by Reece Walsh you'll ever see. And it made the final in Perth look like a bit
of a dog's breakfast.
Look like a game of croquet at a retirement village, like while it's raining.
Mm.
Like just like
the rain didn't help, obviously.
The rain didn't help, obviously, at all. Like the intensity, the feeling, the passion. You could tell that the player, like they were just throwing everything they had into it. It was just an exceptional game of rugby league.
That's the end of the podcast. Is it? Okay.
I have to do this. We're still recording on that. So. Okay. Jeez, what happened to the battery?
I don't know. Did you charge it?
I charged it a bit late. Hold on.
Okay.
Yay. Oh, we haven't done this for a while.
Not for a wee while. Professional outfit. Oi. You can show the ottoman. You can show the mess made.
This is what's happened to this ottoman. Look at this.
Look at all this. This is the wetness. Oh. Look at this patch of wet.
That's a patch of wet. It wasn't from what happened in that... Was it a skit or the script?
Yeah, it was a bit of a script.
Well, yeah, I don't think we've done this particular kind of... I had to do them a few times in the other room, in the lounge, but we've never done
one. This one.
First time in here. So, anyway, Mark, that's another week.
Battery lasted most of the way. Well done, Springboks. You got the title. Well done, Broncos. What a comeback. Well done, Hawke's Bay, for making the quarterfinals. I'm back in Otago.
Otago. Well done, North Harbour, for winning a game.
You're going to back Bay plenty in the quarters now that your team's out?
Yeah, up the Bay.
Up the Bay. Not that Bay.
Yeah, Baywatch. This has been...
2 cents gets distracted.
It's a rugby podcast. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you to our wonderful sponsors. Thank you to you, Mark.
Thank you to you viewers and Tony.
Sorry about the battery running out. Hi-de-da.
Take care.
Bye-bye.